I'm thankful to be in church tonight, amen. Thankful to be able to participate in the Lord's Supper and have that time with Him and have that time with you as well. It's an honor, and it's what a Savior we serve to be able to have that moment with Him. For the challenge this evening, the sermon, I would like to ask you to turn to 1 John chapter 1. As I get myself set up here. 1 John chapter 1, and before we look at the text that I want to focus on tonight, I just want to read some sort of intro scriptures for us that will set the stage of what I want to emphasize tonight. In John 15, 1 through 5, Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing." In Colossians 2:6, we read, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." And lastly, in 1 John 2:28, before we go to 1 John 1, is, "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." One of the common threads of these passages and others is the importance of us as Christians to be abiding in Christ. And this is the context of fellowship, of communion, of being close to the Lord. Yes, there's a difference of abiding in Christ, as in, you know, being found in Christ, saved, part of the body of Christ. But these are talking about our day-to-day walk with the Lord. And there's an importance of abiding in Christ. And now what I want to focus on in 1 John is one of the key disciplines or practices of a Christian that's necessary if we want to be abiding with Christ, being in close fellowship with the Lord. So if you're here with me in 1 John chapter 1, I'm going to be starting in verse 6 and reading to the end of the chapter. "If we say that we have fellowship," notice it says fellowship, not salvation, "if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." That one practice that I want to touch on a little bit tonight that can help us to continually have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ is confession. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again, Lord, for this time that we get to spend together. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness, Lord. Thank you for what you did on Calvary, that you went to the cross to shed your blood to pay for our sins, God. Thank you that that's already been finished. That's already been accomplished. And, Lord, I just pray, God, that you would help us as we go into your word, Lord, to help understand what it means to be confessing to you, Lord, and how you have given us this opportunity to come before you so that we can have a strengthened fellowship, Lord, and walk closer with you, God. Please help me as I preach this message, Lord. Hide me behind the cross, Lord, and give me the words to say. I pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So one of the reasons why I was led to this text on the matter of confession is that we want to be in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ even after the Lord's Supper. You know, sometimes we can see the events of the church as it, as that's all there is to the Christian walk. However, our walk with the Lord is not event by event. It's not Christmas, then the Lord's Supper, and then maybe Easter. No, it's day by day. And a key point, a key practice to being in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ is confession, confessing our sins to him. And tonight, by God's grace, I want to cover some details on that and what it means to confess to the Lord and what are some steps to practice confession. You will not be able to walk the rest of your Christian life abiding in Christ, being in close fellowship with him, if you do not confess your sins. And this is really, it's a simple teaching, a simple doctrine and practice of the Christian, but we can so frequently overlook the importance of confession. We can discard it, or we cannot take it seriously, or even forget to do it. And as a result, our fellowship will suffer with the Lord. And I know, as I was preparing this message, I was challenged myself on, Lord, how many times do I forget to be confessing to you and talking to you about the sins that I do throughout the day and seeking to have them forgiven and cleansed and forsaken and repented of. So just before we dive into the text here, just to give a couple highlighting points. The first point about confession is that it's between you and the Lord Jesus Christ. That we've all heard and know of religions that teach you have to go to a man to confess your sins. That's not biblical. 1 Peter 2:9 says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." In that verse, addressed to Christians, he calls us a royal priesthood. The born-again believer has individual priesthood. We have direct access to God by Jesus Christ. We don't need someone else. We don't need another man to talk to God on our behalf. We can go to him directly, and therefore confession is between him and us directly. For the Bible says, "For there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus." So this matter of confession is between you and the Lord. The only times that it would be between others is maybe perhaps you felt the burden to reach out to someone and for them to help minister to you and pray for you as you're struggling with something. Or as well, if you sinned against God and someone else, it's important for us to be confessing to that person that we wronged and making things right with them as well, in that sense of coming to them and saying, I did this, it was wrong, would you please forgive me? But for the main point, confession is between us and the Lord alone. Secondly, confession isn't something to stay saved. This is something to stay in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I highlighted those two words in the text here, fellowship, as I was reading. When Jesus Christ shed his blood on the cross, he paid for all of our sins. There weren't any that were left out. There's a false teaching that confession is to be, as you live your life, you must be continually confessing your sins, and if you die without confessing a certain sin, you go to hell. That's not biblical. That's not what this is talking about. Jesus Christ has paid for all of your sins on Calvary, and judicially, in the means of being justified, it's settled. The case is closed. You are saved. There's no progressive salvation. There's no, your sins are only forgiven unless you talk about them or bring them up. So practicing confession is not for judicial reasons of forgiveness, but personal reasons of forgiveness as you walk with the Lord. And for those of us here that are saved, just think about the moment of your salvation. You didn't have to confess all of your sins throughout your entire life and then get saved. It was more so confessing that you were a sinner in need of salvation. And quite honestly, if we did have to confess all of our sins in order to be saved, I wouldn't be saved, because I cannot remember the thousands and thousands and thousands of sins that I've committed in my life. So confession is not, it's not between you and another man. It's not to stay saved. Confession is merely a part of our Christian walk to be near to the Lord, getting communicating to the Lord, having a heart after the Lord. The Greek word behind confess here is made up of two root words. One is hamu, which means together or people assembled together, and logos, which is word or speech, what someone has said. So when you put those together, you get the word homologeo, which is to say the same thing as another, to be in agreement. Part of confession is simply being in agreement with the Lord, not him agreeing to our standards, but us agreeing to his and his word. So, Lord, what I did was wrong. That is sin to say that or do that or think that. God, that was wrong. Please, Lord, forgive me, cleanse my heart, and change my heart to forsake that sin and to not do it anymore. Confession is, hear this phrase frequently, but it's doing business with the Lord, getting things right, getting things settled in your walk with him. For example, an illustration even with Josie, my daughter, right? There's nothing that she can do that she'll stop being my kid. There's no way of changing her being my biological kid. And us as born-again Christians, there's no changing us being a child of God. It doesn't matter what you do, you will always be a child of God. When you're born again, you're born again. However, with Josie, going back to the illustration, if I come home one day and she's decided to dump garbage in our bed and roll the car into the pond and duct tape the cat to the ceiling, we're gonna have some issues, right? And it's not going to be that I come home and just say, all right, Josie, let's go get some ice cream and act like everything's fine. Everything's not fine. And in fact, as much as you would think there's something wrong with Josie, you would think there's something wrong with me to just brush everything off and not act like there's something wrong. And that's because, you know, we're people. We're personable. We are affected by when someone else wrongs us. And sometimes as Christians, born again, saved, sins paid for, I think we can forget that God is a person and that the Bible says that he can be grieved and that we don't expect a human just to throw everything under the rug for us. So why do we expect the same of God Almighty? So what are some steps to confession? I just want to give you a couple, three main points here. What are some steps to confession? If we look here at the text, it says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. One of the first steps of confession is firstly acknowledging that you've messed up, that you've sinned, and not denying your sin. In any relationship, the first step in making amends is the right person admitting that they're wrong. And for us as Christians, it's quite easy to figure out who's wrong. It's always us. But some of you, for example, may have people in your lives where you're wanting to restore fellowship with, that you used to spend time with and be close with, and something happened. And in order for you to have that closeness, that fellowship again, that person needs to come and bring things to you and ask for forgiveness and have that, whatever that mountain is, dealt with. And for us as Christians, we can't expect to have a close walk with the Lord and be near to the Lord when we're being that person with him, when we've sinned against him and we're just sort of pretending it never happened or refusing to acknowledge it to him, refusing it to confess it to him. We can't be expecting the blessings from God when, even though we're living completely contrary to him and his word and not confessing, never coming to the Lord and saying, Lord, what I did was wrong. It was against your will and against your commands. I have sinned against thee. Just as if someone we know in a relationship, you can't have that closeness until it's dealt with. And with God, our fellowship won't be restored until we start talking with him and coming to him to confess. When we do wrong, we have to own up to it. Let the word of God be true, and not just saying it's true, but having it be true. And when confronted with Scripture and the Holy Spirit puts his finger on it, the response ought not to be, no, I'm not, or it's not the same. It should be, rather, you're right, Lord, I have sinned. It could be even something that we don't even realize. We don't know it's a sin until we have it revealed to us in his word. The response should be, Lord, you're right, not, well, how about, and proceed to try to work around the conviction. I thought this was interesting, and hopefully I can convey this point right, but it's interesting that with any other piece of literature or communication, we automatically assume that what is being said is what is being meant. We don't read history books and say, Abe Lincoln, I really think what he was trying to say or what he was thinking was this. We don't do that with any other piece of literature other than the Bible. You know, we can read the Bible and find ourselves being confronted and saying, well, you know, it was different in the first century, or what the author was actually trying to say, or it's not that bad, or it's different. Well, when we're talking like that and thinking like that and treating the Word of God like that, it sounds like to me and us that we're denying that we've sinned, that we're trying to avoid that initial conviction that would lead to confession and restoration. So number one of confession is admitting that you've messed up, that you've sinned. So if you find yourself having to self-justify around a verse or try to rationalize around a passage in the Bible, that should be an indication that instead of doing this, I should be confessing and forsaking. So when God's word says that it's sin, it's sin. In fact, if we choose to take the route of denying what God has said and trying to downplay the commands of his word, the verse says here, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. That to disregard God's word and play it off or try to spin it or try to work around it, we're in reality, we're calling God a liar. He's saying that something's sin, that's evil, that's wicked, and we're trying to say it's not. We're calling God a liar. Which brings us to our next point. As we first have to acknowledge and accept that we've sinned, then the next step is to confess and to not cover it up. For I find it interesting that two-letter word that says, if we confess our sins, if, meaning we all have a choice when we realize that we have sinned. We can either try to hide and keep enjoying that pleasure of sin for a season or humbly come before the Lord. If we're walking in the flesh, our natural instinct is going to be to try to cover up and hide it. Think of the examples in the Bible, Adam and Eve, when they sinned against God, did they come to the Lord in the garden and say, Lord, we sinned, you know, you told us not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good of evil or the fruit of the knowledge of the good of evil, and we did wrong, Lord, is there any way you can forgive us? We messed up, we listened to the serpent when we should have been listening to you. Is that the story? No, sadly not. They hid from God. They covered themselves up with leaves. Joseph and his brothers, as we've been going through in the men's Bible study, after Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery, did they come to their dad and say, Dad, we've done something horrible. We got carried away with jealousy and envy, and we sold our brother into slavery, and please forgive us, but we need to get him back. They didn't do that. They instead covered up. They faked his death. Achan, as Pastor has been preaching through Joshua, Achan, one of the members who goes into Jericho, the one command is don't take anything that's accursed. And what does he do? He takes the stuff that's accursed, the Babylonian garment and gold and silver. And once he's off the battlefield, he doesn't look at that and say, oh no, I've sinned. I need to bring this to Moses and I need to let them know that I've done something horrible. Instead, he tries to hide. David as well, with the adultery with Bathsheba, he doesn't come forth. He kills Uriah. He tries to cover up. And over and over and over again, there's this covering up of sin rather than confessing it. And in those examples and more, in the end, you can't hide from God. They eventually confessed, but only because they got caught. So a good lesson for us tonight is don't wait to confess your sin until you get caught. One way or another, we will have to confess it. And don't let that sin get worse and worse and worse and then confess it once it blows up in our face. Confess right away. Even before it becomes an outward action, sometimes we can think that sin is just what we do. It's also what's in our hearts. You might be standing in line at the Wawa with a blank face. You know, you're not showing anything, but when that person drops their money in front of you, you just become very impatient and frustrated with them. Confess that. Confess that right there as you're in line. Maybe you have a blank face, but you just find yourself becoming so irritated and agitated with someone over something so simple as breathing. I confess that that's happened to me. And what's wrong with that? You know, what's wrong with me for to be so angry about someone doing something so simple? If you find yourself becoming irrationally frustrated, confess it right away. And it doesn't just go with those kind of emotions, but also coveting. You see something that someone else has and you want it and you start desiring that and coveting it, confess that. Say, Lord, that's not right. I should be thankful for what you have given me. So confess our sins right away, not later on. Proverbs 28:13 says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. And by the way, a side note, if you have to cover it up, if you have to sneak around and hide and lie and wait to a certain time of the day, that's evidence that you do know it's sin, that you do know it's wrong. Far too often you can hear of people getting caught and their sin being brought to light, as the Bible does say, be sure your sin will find you out. And the defense is, well, I didn't know. Yes, you did. If you didn't know, you wouldn't be trying to spend so much of your life covering up for yourself. And what a horrible way to live, by the way. To me, that's just to constantly be making sure you're not getting caught in your own lies and looking over your shoulder. Why not just confess it and get it right with the Lord and have that burden lifted instead of trying to live two lives at once? So when you know you have sinned, confess. Don't cover up and hide, for the Bible says, if we confess. You can't be cleansed of your sin by trying to cover it up. You can't be cleansed of your sin by trying to hide it. You can't be cleansed of your sin even just hoping that time will allow for that sin to just fade away. None of those things will cleanse us and forgive us of our sins. It's only the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that can forgive and cleanse us of our sins. No human effort can do that. We so frequently, especially if we've not only sinned against God, but maybe sinned against someone else, we think, well, over time it'll heal. No, that over time there's more time to get bitter. So we ought to be confessing right away, not compromising and thinking there's some other way of hiding or covering up or simply letting time take care of it. It won't take care of it. And in reality, when you think about that, when you have that line of thinking, just think about the consequences. Think about how your fellowship with the Lord will suffer. Think about how having unconfessed sin will also affect other relationships with your spouse, with your family, with your friends, with your coworkers, even us here in church. It'll affect your relationship with your brothers and sisters. Don't go down the path of hiding and covering up sin. Know that you cannot make it right any other way than going to the Lord and confessing to Him. So firstly, we got to acknowledge that we've sinned. Then we have to confess our sin, not cover up, not try to hide. And then thirdly, the step, this isn't necessarily on our end, but on the Lord's end, where the Bible says He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we confess to the Lord God about our sin, come to Him in faith and trusting what His Word has to say, that you will be cleansed and that He wants to cleanse you and won't grow weary of forgiving and cleansing you. And He's just to forgive us. Why? Well, not because the forgiveness is based on our merit or our goodness or how spiritual of a Christian we are or even our ability to articulate a good confession. No, He's just to forgive us because He's forgiving us on the basis of the Lord Jesus Christ and His finished work. It has nothing to do with us. It's all with Him. And that not only plays into fellowship, but obviously salvation as well. Without the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, none of us could be forgiven in any way. So He will forgive and cleanse you. And in the process of practicing confession, taking heed to the Word of God, saying, okay, I'm going to take 1 John chapter 1, or verse 9, and apply this to my life. In the process of practicing confession, going to Him for cleansing, not only will your walk grow stronger with the Lord as your fellowship is being restored, as you're being forgiven and cleansed, but you may just start sinning less as well. When you're faithful to the Word of God, and I heard this phrase before, but when you fess up, as soon as you mess up, you might begin to grow tired of confessing to the Lord every day about the same sin. Not that that should stop you from confessing, but it might just motivate us to say, okay, what does God's Word have to say about how not to commit the sin? Or does God's Word have anything to say about how to handle this issue in my life? And being driven through confession and that reminder of how horrible sin is, we might just start to say, okay, Lord, how is it that I can not find myself here every single day? How is it that I can live as a better Christian so I don't have to confess the same sin over and over again because I've forsaken it? Perhaps maybe it might be, Lord, I've through confessing, I've recognized a pattern, Lord. Every time I go there or I'm with those people, I end up here confessing this sin. And Lord, help me, Lord, to practice that doctrine of separation. Lord, that's what's been missing, Lord. That's why I keep going back to the sin, because I keep going to the wrong places. Things like that the Lord can reveal to us just simply by us being faithful and seeking forgiveness and cleansing from Him. So the Lord is faithful every time to forgive us of our sin when we confess to Him. He never runs out of the ability to forgive, nor grows weary. And also take note of that, as He does the forgiving and cleansing, that He forgives us even though we are undeserving. We can have pride sneak up even in our confessing, in the sense that we can mistakenly become entitled to forgiveness, where we just sort of go to the Lord in confession and then come back and not really have any seriousness or intent to actually repent. Just that, well, I know the Lord will forgive me, so let me just hop in prayer and then pop back out. That's not what confession is about. And sometimes maybe even our confession needs to be confessed of and repented of. So He is the one who forgives based on his shed blood, his finished work. He's faithful to forgive. He's just to forgive. And although not directly mentioned in the text here, I also want to cover that he's just and faithful and loving enough to also give us the strength to forsake, which is the last part of confession, is that not only are we confessing to talk with the Lord, but also confessing to forsake and to repent of that sin. And that strength, that ability of the Lord to help us grow is from him. We can't grow ourselves. It's by the Holy Spirit. In Philippians 1:6, the Bible says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, but we all, with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. We are called to just be faithful and obey. The Lord will do the work of changing us and performing that work in our heart to make us more and more like Jesus Christ. And again, if you've been confessing the same sin over and over and over and over again, by doing so, firstly, you're being faithful to what he's saying. But maybe in confessing over and over and over again, it might be made known to you that the reason why it keeps happening is because you're trying to do the work of sanctification rather than just yielding and submitting to the Holy Spirit and letting him do his work in you. That you're relying on your own strength and your own will to repent of that sin instead of his. And lastly, as we close here, as we've covered confession, is that the ultimate goal, I've touched on this throughout the message, but the ultimate goal is seen in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, as the thought continues through chapter 1, which says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. That the ultimate goal in confession is that we don't sin again, that we're going for forgiveness, we're going for cleansing, and also for the purpose of, Lord, I don't want to be back here for the same reason. But thanks be to God that when we do, he's still just and faithful to forgive. So the challenge I want to give tonight then in closing is don't let the Lord's Supper be the only time you confess and talk with God. Have communion. Seek to talk with him day by day. And seek to be faithful day by day in part of being faithful to him, part of having communion with him, is going to be implementing confession in your own life. So in summary, confession is acknowledging you have sinned, confessing it to him, not trying to cover up, trust that he will forgive and cleanse you, and depend on him for the strength to repent and forsake. So will you seek to be closer to the Lord tonight? Maybe if this is something that's new to you and you're not sure, just ask him in prayer, Lord, is there anything that I need to confess? Lord, is there anything I'm blind to that I don't realize that I'm doing? And just wait and just see what the Lord will do. And by his grace, we can go through day by day. And I'm thankful that he's always just and faithful to forgive us every day. And lastly, last point, as we've been doing a message on confession and having communion with the Lord, I do want to mention that you cannot have fellowship or communion or closeness to the Lord Jesus Christ unless you've been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. So if there's anybody here tonight that maybe you've come to a point where you realize, well, I've never actually confessed to Jesus that I'm a sinner in need of his grace. I invite you to do so tonight, because not only is he willing to forgive the Christian every day, he's also willing to forgive you of all of your sins and in a moment be cleansed and given the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ alone. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word, Lord, and thank you for your promises, Lord. God, I thank you that you've given us your word so that we can know your promises. And Lord, I pray that you would help us all, Lord, to practice and implement confession in our lives, Lord, so that we may be closer to you, Lord, and closer to you in fellowship, Lord, and just walking that faithful, obedient life to you. God, I pray, Lord, that if there's anybody here that does not know Jesus as their Savior, Lord, that you would work on their heart, Lord, and lead them to him so they may trust him and receive him as their Savior. God, we're so thankful for your forgiveness, your kindness, your mercy and grace. God, please help us to serve you